All right, so you are back in beautiful Los Angeles.
Okay.
You were on a trip.
But I'm back.
You're back, baby.
Okay.
You were talking to a you made it so you were talking to a fast food travel agent where basically their deal
What does
is
that mean? What?
so their deal is that
No.
they find like the
No.
best fast food spots around like
No.
some of them around the world, but this one was just in you call it they call it an in-country visit. You stayed in country. Didn't, you know, and so basically what they do is, like I said, they'll go to like they'll do a lot of research and they'll be like, all right, so like the best Denny's in the world. It's located in
Waterloo, Illinois. I mean, not really, but
yeah,
like
something
my.
like that. Yeah. And so they'll find you like the best version of a particular fast food restaurant because we've all been to like the bad version of McDonald's in town. You know what I mean? There's a good McDonald's, there's
Yeah.
a bad McDonald's. This one finds the best McDonald's.
I don't want to go to the worst one.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that like every town has like the bad one. You know, I'm just using that kind of as an example. So
Yeah,
you
yeah.
so they find you guys like they'll find you like I said, the best Denny's in the world. Or in America. It's located in the Illinois place that you said.
Waterloo? Really? That's
Waterloo.
the best Denny's? Man.
It's one that you like don't know about.
No, I know about that Denny's. That Denny knows about me.
Well, this is like the other Denny's. This is the Denny's that you have to be in the know to find out about it.
Don't like this.
You got to know the right people to find these places. And over the years, the fast food travel agent has made the necessary contacts. People trust him. All right. And so he will find you the best places to go. And
Okay.
you are back in town after having experienced, without a doubt, the best Whataburger that you've ever had in your fucking life.
It's a tall order, man. I think Whataburger is fantastic.
And that's what you say to the guy.
Where is it?
It is in Richmond, Virginia. Broad Street.
The best Whataburger, a Texas fast food chain.
Like
The
I'm
best
saying,
one out of all of them is in Richmond, Virginia.
they will go, like I said, off the beaten path to find these places. They have put in the work over the years.
Richmond has like a college, has multiple colleges. It's not
Yeah.
off the beaten path.
Right. But this is like, but I'm saying, like, it's a Texas-based thing, right? So you'd think,
Oh,
oh,
so
it's
it's so
probably
big.
someone in
Okay.
Texas. And so it's like
I see
someone
where you're
else. You know what I
going.
mean? And
Yeah.
so, and it's fantastic. You walk
What makes
in.
it so good?
They have like white tablecloths on the tables and stuff like that.
Okay.
They've got candles. The reason that it's so good is that it is easily the most romantic Whataburger in North America. And they have it set up with like candles and they have like, you know, they serve you like aphrodisiacs and stuff like that. They put that in
What
the
do you
food.
mean? What do you mean by that?
Oysters.
What is it? This is a Whataburger with oysters.
Like I'm saying, man, this is a very, very good place.
How much does that set you back? A Whataburger oyster.
It depends upon if you get the combo. So
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna
you
get the
go
combo, of
there.
course. I'm gonna get the combo.
So you come back and like it was incredible, man. Like so there was the white tablecloths, there was the extra stuff to make it just that extra more romantic. In some cases, a little bit more sensual.
Now, am I there with a lover?
No.
Oh, so I'm just taking in this horny fucking Whataburger by myself.
Yeah, I
You
guess
kidding
so.
me?
Yeah. And so
I mean, oysters,
yeah.
getting all turned on.
So you're back in LA and you're feeling pretty good. You got a gig that night.
Okay.
You're playing you have a gig at a an all-night graveyard. It's a graveyard that is open 24/7. So it's definitely like it's a graveyard for night owls, for sure. It's actually called Night Owl Cemetery. And then underneath, we're never closed.
I think a lot of cemeteries are open.
Well, a lot of them are like a lot of them like close up like these days early. Or not early, but you know what I mean. When the sun
Yeah.
goes down. You know, they want to keep people out. They don't need, you know, teenagers partying in the middle of, you know, most of these places aren't, they have security or anything. So they just, you know, latch up the gates or whatever, but not this place. They say to you, the founder of it, this guy, his name is Dennis Smog. He's like, the gates of heaven are never closed, and neither are we. That's our guarantee at Night Owl Cemeteries. So they have like a pavilion that they do a comedy show at.
Okay.
And they do it like monthly. It's like a monthly showcase.
Okay. So I'm doing just a like a 10-minute set. What am I doing?
Yeah, you're doing 10 minutes. It's like a like I said, it's like a showcase thing.
Yeah.
It's hosted by the Heck brothers.
Heck brothers.
Yeah.
Is this like a stage thing, or are they actual brothers whose last name is Heck?
They're actual brothers. Their names are Andy and Cubert.
Andy and Hubert Heck.
Cubert.
Hubert Heck is a good name.
Yeah, Cubert Heck.
Oh, Cubert is in the video game.
Yes. And so they host the show. They do some banter up top, you know. They always
Yeah.
they like to, you know, they'll be like, they'll just kind of do some jokes, talk about what's going on that week. They have a thing every because the graveyard has been, the cemetery has been open for a very long time. And
Yeah.
so they'll actually go around and every month they have a thing where they read off a bunch of like just weird headstones that they found and kind of
Okay.
riff on that. So
Sure.
this month they're like, all right, well, we went over to the swamp section. It's a really, really big graveyard. And so there's a section of it that just is like kind of very swampy.
So this graveyard has its own biomes.
Yeah, it has its own swamp. And
Jesus
the
Christ.
water is not deep, but it's ice cold. So you have to get into like small like boats to, you know, to wander the swamp region of the cemetery.
How are they putting bodies in the water?
Above ground in that one, like
Oh, then
mausoleums.
I'm not getting in that fucking water.
Well,
I'm
no,
not
you don't
getting the
have to.
swamp water.
You don't have to.
Yeah,
I'm
I'm not
saying that
gonna.
this is what they did. They were like they went to the swamp section, and so they found some headstones and they wrote down and they did some research and actually found out the cause of death. That's like part of the bit. And so they're like, all right, so here are the wackiest headstones that we found. They found one where it says, "Here lies Jen, a pile of shit."
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they did some research. Jen comes from a family with no last name, so that's why it's just Jen.
Oh
And
man.
she was actually she was killed by her family. She was actually like going to get married and take somebody's last name, but they were like, not in this family. It was a very long time ago. And so they were really
We
mad
killed
at her.
her because she wanted a last name.
Yeah, she comes from a family where they don't have a last name. And
And
so
it's like a moral stand for them.
they took it as a grave insult.
Oh, shit.
The mom, Tammy, she's like, I wish you would just, you may as well just spit on me and then set me on fire.
I'm very offended by this.
Very, I mean, offended enough to kill, which, they did. And then they buried her in the mausoleum of the swamp. So they read
Okay.
that one. There's another one where it says, it says, "Here lies some guy." And then, like, underneath it, like, chiseled into it, like, clearly a new one, like, clearly, like a later inscription, it says, "Never mind. His name is Len Tombert."
Okay.
They did some research. They're like, oh, yeah, like, initially they didn't know who this person was. So they just buried him and said it was some guy. But then, after they did, but then, like, a few years. Well, many years after, I should say, the family like found the person there, like tracked down this grave, the Tomberts, and they identified him and they like wrote the thing in.
How do they identify him? Very.
Yeah, I mean they did like DNA testing and stuff. Like
Oh, okay.
they had a sneaking suspicion that it was their uncle who
So
died.
John Doe.
Yeah, they had a very sneaking suspicion because the way that this guy died, they found him. He was on top of a ladder reaching for milk, and he like fell and like broke his neck or whatever. And they were like, our uncle, he always said, "I love milk so much, I'm probably gonna die reaching for it." And they went, "Huh." And that was like the spark that made them. It took a very long time and a lot of litigation to get them to actually like dig the body up, but it was worth it. It turned out it was him. So they decided to just keep the body there, They reburied him with a carton of milk. And some say it's still cold.
Gotta be right.
So you
Below
do,
ground with ice cold water nearby?
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So they do their whole spiel. You go up. It goes pretty well, you're working on this new bit. You're like telling a story of the first time you ever jacked off. That's like the bit that you're working on.
Okay.
But like you can't get through the set, you just like start crying thinking of this memory. It's just such a beautiful memory that you're doing really well until you start working on this new bit. You talk about the first time you jacked off. It's such an overwhelming, like memory overload for you of like, pleasure that you just burst into tears, and eventually they have to like, carry you off, not carry you off stage, but like walk you off stage. And they're like, all right. But like everyone thinks it's like a bit. Everyone thinks, no one realizes that like you're clearly having this weird almost breakdown. They think you're doing some kind of like alt comedy and like an all night graveyard. So everyone goes along with it. And then the hosts, the Heck brothers, are like, way to go, man. That was hilarious. Qbert kind of gives you like a knowing look. He's like,
He
everything else.
knows that it wasn't a bit.
He knows that you were actually crying, and he kind of goes like, he doesn't want to like, he clearly doesn't want to like make a whole thing of it. He just kind of goes like, but yeah, you're good, right?
I'm like, yeah, I'm great.
He's like, hell yeah, you go
Thanks for
home.
the time, fellas.
He goes, absolutely. He goes, Qbert looks at you, he puts his hand on your shoulder, and he goes, and if you ever need to talk. So you go home and you kind of are thinking to yourself that like maybe the reason that like you started crying and maybe the reason that you kind of impulsively went on this fast food excursion spending money that frankly you don't have is that you're kind of you're in a little bit of a rut professionally. This is a few years down the road. You were fired from your job. You're hosting a show called called MILF's Gone Crazy. And what it
Hell
is,
yeah.
It's about a bunch of like MILFs in like a mental institution. And it's like kind of like a Celebrity Rehab a little bit, but it is in poor taste. And so the show gets like canceled like after like two
Yeah,
seasons.
yeah. I don't know if I would do that. Feels like it would be like exploitative.
Well, you had to take it, you know?
Oh, okay. I
One
have
of
to
those
take it.
things. Yeah, you have to take it.
Okay.
Yep. So
That sucks.
yeah, because you're like you've kind of gone through a lot of money in the last couple of years. You've tried a few businesses that just did not take off. You were working at a band naming service that was like your thing, where bands would come to you, bands with no name would come to you, and you'd be like, you'd listen to their music, you talk to them about their vibe, and you would come up with a name for them. And so you did that for
What
a
was
little
that
while.
service worth? What did that set to somebody back?
Oh, so you have a few different packages. You have one thing that you call the brainstorm package. And what that is you sit there for like a half hour and you just kind of go, all right, here we go. And you just start naming stuff. You just start naming kind of stream of conscious type of thing. You know what I mean? And you kind of
Okay.
hone in on a name. And after that's done, they get access to those names. So it's a half hour long stream of consciousness of you just saying things. So there's that package. There's
how much does that one cost?
$45. Then there's the package. It's called the gentleman's package. And what that is you go home and you kind of have a brainstorm thing, but you come up with five really good names. Any of those names they'd be happy with. Then there's the platinum package. That is one single perfect pristine name for a band. One that's going to stay in people's heads, but not be too annoying. You know what I mean? Something memorable.
Yeah.
Costs $100,000.
Okay. Probably doing
Gentleman's,
a lot of those.
yeah, gentleman's package costs like $80. So you do that for a while, and it doesn't really take off.
Yeah, why would it?
For a while, you tried to make edible sand.
Why? Who the fuck is out here eating sand? Other than on accident, if something gets in like a sandwich.
So your thing is, look, there's so much sand everywhere. There's as many like grains of sand in the desert as there are stars in the sky. So let's find a way to enjoy this. If you can make sand edible, and not only edible, but delicious, then you're like, you're sitting on a gold mine. You know what I mean? You have an endless supply of this. Let's get to it. So
not how fucking sand works, man. It's like not how fucking sand works. You can't just make anything edible.
Well, that's what you find out. You learned that the hard way, my friend.
Jesus Christ. These are all terrible ideas.
Yeah, dude. So you're not doing too good on the financial side of things. The show got canceled. You've gone through these businesses, and it's not looking good. So
this sucks.
You leave the gig. You drive home. You stop at a Whataburger on the way home. And man, it just does not compare. I got to be honest with you. It's still pretty good, but
great. Another thing ruined.
And you kind of think that to yourself. You get home. You change out of your clothing into your pajamas. You let your white boxers with red hearts on them just like float down to the ground. You get into your silk pajamas, and you just fucking crawl into bed. You fall asleep. You dream of a howling void.
Great.
The next day you wake up and you kind of stretch, you know? You notice that there's like a piece of paper neatly folded on your bed next to you. On the front, it says, "For Aaron's eyes only." And then parentheses, Brooks. To different, you know, to.
Yeah, in case. Yeah, two errands at my place. I'm probably terrified.
Yeah.
To find like I don't know how that got there.
Neatly folded.
And it had to have happened overnight because it wasn't there when I went to bed.
You kind of like look at it and it's the exact same color as vanilla cream. What do you do?
I open the fucking letter. I open it up.
Yeah. So you open it up, and it's almost a shame for you to like undo the crease, you know what I mean? Because it is folded so neatly and so carefully that it almost seems like a shame to do, but you do it anyway, and yet another small piece of beauty is destroyed.
What I do.
You open it up and it says, "Aaron, we know about your cash problems. We can help you. That's all that it says."
What a fucking haunting note to wake up to. Somebody came into my home while I slept and placed this neatly folded note.
Yeah.
Filled with information that is very intimate.
Yeah. A shiver goes down your spine.
Yeah, I'm terrified. I check all the windows and make sure everything's locked. I mean, lock the door.
Yeah. So like the window to your in like your bedroom is, it's still, you know, locked up, curtains drawn tight. You kind of like check around the curtains to see if any, you know, what's going on. And it's like an alley. There's like a dude like out there like peeing. He sees you. He's like, "Hey, Aaron." You're like, "Hey." And so you Great. go to check if your front door is still locked. And it is. You're like, "Hell yeah." You turn around and standing in your living room.
Are you fucking serious?
Are three people. And you kind of like squint at them because it's kind of almost as if they're kind of almost hard to perceive because they look like people. But the first one is like, she looks like a beautiful woman, right? But if you like squint the right way, it's almost like you can see like a scorpion tail come out of her.
Fucking terrifying. I leave.
Well, hold on. Next, you like go to, like, you're like about to turn, but like you kind of can't because you're like transfixed by these guys. You know what I mean? There's a man. There's a guy standing there, and he's like, he almost looks like a statue. You know what I mean? That's how like how sculpted this guy is. You know, he almost looks like an ancient Greek statue or something. But then again, when you do a little bit of squinting, it's almost like he has like a lion's mane. You know. And then standing.
Hold on, who's the fucking third guy? Broke into my house.
The third guy. He's this
what
just
the
like
fuck?
This dude kind of looks like a normal guy, Except again, you can't help but squint just a little bit. And it's almost like he has like pinchers, like a crab. And then the woman steps forward and she goes, "Be not afraid, Aaron. I am Scorpio." And then like the lion guy goes,
No, come
"I
on.
am Leo." And then the crab guy goes, "And I am Cancer." And then they all say at the same time, "And we are the Astro Association." Scorpio goes, "All right, look, I know this seems
I said, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out. How, what do you want? When I squint at these people, they look like animals.
Yeah. And so Scorpio goes, "Hold on, Aaron, before you kick us out, look, we will leave if you want, but listen to us for just one second." She goes, "Aaron, when is your birthday?"
It's August 6th,
They
1984.
all look at each other and like they all kind of like nod. And she goes, "Aaron, I have something to tell you." She goes on to tell you that humanity has like fucked up the astrological signs. Like they've always been wrong, it turns out. There's one slight error. Turns out that your birthday is in its like its own astrological category by itself. Instead of a ring.
August 6th,
Yeah.
1984.
August 6th, 1984. She goes, and then like Leo goes, "Listen to us, Aaron. You are the only one who can help us, for you exist in your own astrological world."
I was surely not the only person born on that day.
Cancer goes, "Nope, you're not." He kind of like crab walks up a little bit and he goes,
Get the stay the fuck away from me.
"Yeah," he goes, "Definitely." He kind of like crab walks up. He goes, "Sorry, man. I'm used to just being a crab, I guess." He goes, "Look, Aaron, there are other people who have your birthday, of course, but you're the only one of them that can help us." And then
Why the fuck is that?
Leo holds up those white boxers with red hearts on them, and he goes, "Because you're pure of heart."
He's got my fucking boxers in his hand. How did he get them?
He like opens his hand up and like it's gone, as if it was never even there.
He'll get the fuck out of my house. He'll get out. Get out. Don't return. Don't come back. I don't like your bullshit to begin with. Then you break into my house.
Yeah.
You somehow acquired a pair of my underwear.
Scorpio goes, "You don't understand, Aaron. He's
I don't care. I
coming."
don't need to understand. Get the
Leo,
fuck out of my house.
they go, "Okay." They all like
Why the
leave.
fuck would I help them? Why would I do anything for them?
Cancer
Why
turns
is
around.
everybody always so mean?
What do you mean? They
They
weren't
can't
mean.
just like, they can't like call me or like knock on my front door. They've got to show up with my underwear in their hands. Like, what the fuck?
Leo goes like, "Well, look, we left you a note. We can give you." They go, "Look, we know that you're having some cash problems. Believe us, we can help you out with that, man." They go, "All you have."
I don't want your fucking money.
He goes, "You sure?" You like turn around and there's just like a like one of those like Monopoly bags of money with like the dollar sign on them. There's like five of them inside your fucking apartment. He goes, "Just think on it, Aaron." He winks at
I
you.
go, I don't even think on this. Tax implications alone make this untenable. You guys gotta go. I don't want any part of this.
Like, "All right." They just walk down the street.
I say, before they go, I say, "Hey, do you have any more of my shit? Do you have any more of my underwear? Or I don't know, a towel or something? Are you holding on to any of my, any else of my like stuff? Like,
Scorpio, like as they walk away, kind of turns around and she goes like, "No, Aaron." They like walk away.
good.
You
Good fucking riddance.
close the door, you turn around, and there's still like the bags of money are still there. What do you do?
I open the door and I go, "Hey, you left your fucking money here. I told you I don't want it."
They're gone.
Great.
What do you do?
I don't know.
You're kind of
I'm
like
not
you.
gonna sp I'm not gonna spend this money. I'm gonna call a lawyer friend of mine.
Okay. So you go to like you pick up the phone, like you dial the number. You call like the phone rings once, rings twice. And then you hear this woman be like, "Yeah, you've reached the office of Jackson Renegade, the attorney who fucks. How can I help you?"
I'm not going to call Jackson Renegade the attorney who fucks.
He's the only the one.
I'm going to call a friend, a lawyer friend,
Yeah. So, I
somebody
mean,
who I could trust.
right, but like the only number that you that comes to mind is his phone number, which is
I'm
eight
not going
eight
to call the attorney that fucks, Pat.
eight 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 FUCKYOU.
Hey, fuck you. I'm not calling Jackson Renegade. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go through the attorney that fucks.
But
I'm going to
like,
call a close friend.
you kind of think that, like, as she answers, you're like, "This is stupid." You hang up. You go
What the
to
fuck? The attorney that fucks?
you go to dial like the friend that you know personally, and then suddenly there's like a very heavy hand on your shoulder.
What the fuck?
You turn around, and like standing there is this like big fucking guy. He's not jacked. He's big.
Why is this guy in my house now?
He's like, he goes, "Hello, Aaron. I am Aries."
Get the fuck out of my house. Get out of my house. Get out of my house. Why can't these people?
He goes, "Aaron, if
I
you
go get out.
join," he goes, because
No.
before you say anything, "if you join with me, I will make those five bags of money look like fucking nothing."
I go, you should take those bags of money and dispose of them. I don't want them. They're not mine. You can take them and get the fuck out of here. I'm not joining anybody. Nobody has done anything to make me feel good about this situation.
So he kind of like looks, he kind of like looks over and he just goes, "All right." He kind of like lumbers away. He
Tell him to take
grabs
the money.
the bags of money. He
Good.
opens the door. He turns around. He goes, "Are you sure, Aaron?"
I go, yeah, get the fuck out of here.
He goes, "Please, come on."
I just want my life back. I know it sucks, and I know it's shitty,
Yeah.
and I know that I owe people a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, I just want that back. I don't want to be beholden to a
Yeah.
fucking crab man or a scorpion woman or whatever the fuck this guy is.
Aries.
A huge person, just a big fat person.
Yeah, he has like a battle axe too. And he kind of goes like, "Well, Aaron, I guess if that's how you want it, that's how you want it."
That's how I want it. Thank you.
He
Please
goes
leave.
"You're welcome." He like walks out the door for a second. The axe gets caught on like the top of the door. He's like,
No,
"Oh,
come
fuck."
on.
And like takes it out and like walks out.
Are you fucking kidding me? I go, hey, before you leave, you got to pull some money out of that bag to replace this fucking door. Things are tight as it is, and you just that's like, I don't know how much a door costs, but it's probably a couple $100 easy.
He turns, he goes,
Plus to
"Oh."
put it in.
He goes, "Oh, you do want the money?"
No, I want money to cover the damages that you just caused to my fucking home. I don't want anything else.
He goes, "All right." Disappears in like a plume of smoke. You look over and like on your kitchen table, there's like, I don't know, maybe like $300.
Great. Now I gotta fucking go to Home Depot or Lowe's or something. And I gotta buy a goddamn door. I'm not handy.
Yeah.
It's gonna look like shit.
So you kind of think that to yourself and you're like, "Fuck, this sucks." And you go
Yeah.
outside to go to Home Depot, and then you're arrested by your creditors. You owe
What?
so much money. You took out a new like a loan and a new credit card because you got really into like erotic ASMRs,
Come on, Matt. Come
And
on.
so you owe like several, $1 million to these creditors and they arrest you for
Are
it.
you who's giving me all this money? This debt problem in this country is out of control.
Lanalax credit, and you owe them several $1 million. So you get you go to like trial and stuff like that. You're found guilty,
Yeah.
and
Does the judge bang the gavel?
the judge bangs the gavel so hard that your ears ring. You go to jail, and on your first night in jail, you're like kind of just like laying in your bunk. You're kind of lucky. You don't have like a cellmate. You're just kind of like by yourself, and you're on like the bottom bunk, and you're like, fuck, this is not good. And then the top bunk like falls on you and crushes you.
What? How? On a fucking bunk bed.
The bunk bed is like made of like solid steel, but it was like very poorly made. And so you're lying down staring at like what, the bottom of the bunk bed on top of you.
Yeah.
And you like sneeze and it just like crumbles and just falls on you. And
Great. Thank God.
the solid steel just crushes you.
You're fucking kidding me.
Your brains like leak to like out of it until like just kind of goes like drip, people swear that after you're found, like it takes a few days for anyone to notice because you don't have a cellmate, and it's just a really lax jail, I guess. And the people when they show up to find you, like they swear that the brains that have like dripped out of your head onto the ground, they form.
Yeah.
It looks just like the Virgin Mary.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Pat.
The Astro Association.